Let's share a thought from Rav Hirsch on the mitzvah Gidon Loshen. So he points out that there are four mitzvahs which are found in Sefer Bereishis. There are Shabbos, there's Gidon Loshen, there's Milan, and there's the Keshes. There's four institutions, as he calls it. There are four concepts which are introduced. It says the Shabbos and Keshes are a message to mankind in general, and Gidon Loshen and Mila apply to Klal Yisrael specifically. But what he ties together is there's actually a parallel between these two sets of mitzvahs. What Shabbos and Keshes teach the world, Mila and Gidon Loshen teach Klal Yisrael. Shabbos talks about the spiritual calling of mankind. Mila says that for the Jews. Keshes is a sign for the history of mankind, and Gidon Loshen is the sign of the history for Klal Yisrael. How is the Gidon Loshen a sign for the history of Klal Yisrael? The Gidon Loshen, he points out, is that while we have all the parts of the body, that which allows the person to stand up and fight has been removed from him. So it's an act of submission, as it were, an act of a person bowing to somebody else. You see, it's interesting, Teich, that the idea of an Isha, that the true relation of a husband to wife is a co-worker and placed equal to the man. So Ish and Isha, we do not see his elements of submission between the man and the woman. But in the plural, the Anoshim and the Noshim, in the public relation, the woman is represented through her husband. A lot of the public presentation of the person, so only in the public life do women appear as having a weaker element. You find the lashon of the noisha is the one who comes to collect, and the one you collect from is that the person that you're collecting from, they are. I gave over part of my property. I look at, I'm the malve, but what am I coming to? But the reason why I'm coming to collect is there's something of mine which is in somebody else's possession. I've given over something of mine that somebody else has power over it. The loiva has power over my property. The loiva has it. I need to get it back from them. So that is interesting thought process, b'chlal, in seeing the idea of how we look at a loiva and a malva. The malva is the one which is more powerful. In a certain sense, the loiva is the one who's more powerful because he has something which is in his possession from the malva. So, woman, as it were, gives over some of her power to the husband in the public forum. She lets him represent her. The bit over here, Yaakovinu is submitting, as it were, to Esav, to recognize that the strength of Klal Yisrael is not going to be in the physical prowess, not going to be in the physical ability to stand up. And as a matter of fact, the way Yaakov actually was successful over Esav was by bowing down to Esav. But that's a temporary state. The Nosha means it went out of place, means it can go back into place. So the message of Klal Yisrael is that which we stand and fall in the future. Strength for Klal Yisrael does not lie in the sword that, like Esav. If Yaakovino falls, if Klal Yisrael falls, it's not because it's not equal to Esav in power, because it does not understand that its protection comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what defines. So in that sense, we are not in a submission to Esau, we're in submission to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Esau has no power over us other than challenging us to maybe lose our sight of who we are and what we are. That's interesting. The few interesting points over here is how he sees Gid Anasha, how he sees the relationship between man and woman in the public sphere and in the private sphere, and how he sees the certain strength that Eloiva has over Amalva. Have a good Shabbos.